THE HOUSE OF THE DEAD by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Chapter 1. 10 years a convict. In the midst of the steppes, of the mountains, of the impenetrable forests, of the desert regions of Siberia, one meets from time to time with little towns of 1,000 or 2 inhabitants, built entirely of wood, very ugly, with 2 churches, one in the center of town, the other in the cemetery. In a word, towns which bear much more resemblance to a good-sized village in the suburbs of Moscow than to a town properly so called. In most cases, they are abundantly provided with policemaster, assessors, and other inferior officials. If it is cold in Siberia, the great advantages of the government service compensate for it. The inhabitants are simple people without liberal ideas. Their manners are antique, solid, and unchanged by time. The officials who form, and with reason, the nobility in Siberia, either belong to the country, deeply rooted Siberians, or they have arrived there from Russia. The latter come straight from the capitals, tempted by the high pay, the extra allowance for traveling expenses, and by hopes not less seductive for the future. Those who know how to resolve the problem of life remain almost always in Siberia. The abundant and richly flavored fruit which they gather there recompenses them amply for what they lose. As for the others, light-minded persons who are unable to deal with the problem, they are soon bored in Siberia and ask themselves with regret why they committed the folly of coming. They impatiently kill the 3 years which they are obliged by rule to remain, and as soon as their time is up, they beg to be sent back and return to their original quarters, running down Siberia and ridiculing it. They are wrong, for it is a happy country, not only as regards the government service, but also from many other points of view. The climate is excellent, the merchants are rich and hospitable, the Europeans in easy circumstances are numerous. As for the young girls, they are like roses, and their morality is irreproachable. Game is to be found in the streets, and throws itself upon the sportsman's gun. People drink champagne in prodigious quantities. The caviar is astonishingly good and most abundant. In a word, it is a blessed land, out of which it is only necessary to be able to make profit, and much profit is really made. It is in one of these little towns, gay and perfectly satisfied with themselves, the population of which has left upon me the most agreeable impression, that I met an exile, Alexander Petrovich Goriantchikov, formerly a landed proprietor in Russia. He had been condemned to hard labor of the second class for assassinating his wife. After undergoing his punishment, 10 years of hard labor, he lived quietly and unnoticed as a colonist in the little town of K. To tell the truth, he was inscribed in one of the surrounding districts, but he resided at K, where he managed to get a living by giving lessons to children. In the towns of Siberia, one often meets with exiles who are occupied with instruction. They are not looked down upon, for they teach the French language so necessary in life, and of which without them one would not, in the distant parts of Siberia, have the least idea. I saw Alexander Petrovich the first time at the house of an official, Ivan Ivanich Gvostikov, a venerable old man, very hospitable, and the father of 5 daughters, of whom the greatest hopes were entertained. 4 times a week, Alexander Petrovich gave them lessons, at the rate of 30 kopecks silver a lesson. His external appearance interested me. He was excessively pale and thin, still young, about 35 years of age, short and weak, always very neatly dressed in the European style. When you spoke to him, he looked at you in a very attentive manner, listening to your words with strict politeness and with a reflective air, as though you had placed before him a problem or wished to extract from him a secret. He replied clearly and shortly, but in doing so weighed each word, so that one felt ill at ease without knowing why, and was glad when the conversation came to an end. I put some questions to Ivan Gvostikov in regard to him. He told me that Goriantchikov was of irreproachable morals, otherwise Gvostikov would not have entrusted him with the education of his children, but that he was a terrible misanthrope, who kept apart from all society, that he was